Thank you, Mr. Parrish. Good morning, everyone. Well, brethren, are you ready? Are you prepared? Time is running out. The clock is ticking. You have 14 days remaining to complete your preparations. Have you even started? February the 14th looms on the horizon. Are you ready for Valentine's Day? I'm going to ask you another question. Will you be my Valentine? Come on. Don't everybody raise your hands at once. You probably know what's inside this box. It certainly is pretty. It's colorful. And the contents are probably very sweet. Valentine's Day must be a good thing, right? I mean, isn't it? Isn't it all about a day of love? That's what the French call it, le jour d'amour. Mr. Waterhouse brought his wife along, and I know she is very fluent in French. Le jour d'amour, the day of love. That's what the French call it. She's smiling at me, so I don't think I butchered it too badly. I remember a little bit from high school French class. It's a day for giving our sweethearts flowers, candy, and romantic Valentine's Day cards. So, again, I say, Valentine's Day must be a good thing, right? Well, maybe not. And that's what we're going to examine today. We're going to answer another question. What's wrong with Valentine's Day? We'll begin with a little bit of history that I have taken from some articles written by the late Dr. Herman Hay. They were both on the subject of Valentine's Day. One appeared in the February 1985 issue of the Good News magazine, and the other was from the February 1959 issue of The Plain Truth. Let's begin in the Bible in Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 8 through 11, just to get a little bit of biblical history here. In verse 8, we read, Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ur, and Calah. Now Nimrod, who is Nimrod? Well, he was Noah's great-grandson. Noah had a son named Ham, who had a son named Cush, whose son was Nimrod. So Nimrod was Noah's great-grandson. And as we've just read, we're told that Nimrod exalted himself before God, or above God. We just read that he founded the city of Babel. You'll recall what happened there, where they raised the great tower in rebellion against God. He also built the city of Nineveh. And you'll recall that years later, that was the great city to which God sent the prophet Jonah. Why? Because of the wickedness of that city. Nimrod was its founder. We just read as well that he became a mighty hunter. Nimrod hunted wolves in the Apennine Mountains of Italy. And in the process, he acquired the title Lupercus, meaning wolf hunter. Now Nimrod was in fact considered a hero or a strong man to the people. And the Latin word valens meant to be strong, powerful, and mighty. And so Nimrod was given the name Valentine. He was the mighty one. And the people looked to him as a strong man, someone who would protect them against great animals, creatures like these wild wolves. The Lupercalia was a Roman festival honoring Lupercus, Nimrod. They wanted to honor him. And in AD 313, Emperor Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. Little problem, though, these new Christians also wanted to keep their festival, their pagan festival. And so in AD 496, Pope Gelasius changed the Lupercalia into Saint Valentine's Day. Now Nimrod had been born at the winter solstice, January 6th, and his mother, Semiramis, presented herself for purification 40 days later. Well, when was that? The Lupercalia was celebrated then, the evening of February 14, because 40 days following January the 6th would have been February the 15th. And that's where February the 14th comes into the picture. What about the heart shape? Why do we associate hearts with a day honoring Nimrod? Well, the ancient Romans acquired the symbol of the heart from the Babylonians. Because in the Chaldean tongue, which is the language spoken in Babylon, the word for heart was bow. And because of its similarity in sound, it became a symbol for Nimrod, the Baal, or sun god, of the ancient Babylonians. What about Cupid? What about him, this little winged creature that supposedly goes about shooting his arrows and causing his targets to suddenly become infatuated with their sweethearts? Well, this was another name for, you guessed it, Nimrod. It meant desire. When Nimrod's mother saw him, she lusted after him. She desired him. And Nimrod became her Cupid. She, in fact, later married him. And the Egyptians referred to him as Osiris, another name you've heard in the past, meaning the husband of his mother. Well, brethren, today we've seen that St. Valentine's Day has, in fact, pagan origins. There's nothing saintly about it. Well, so what? I mean, isn't it still just a harmless tradition? It's harmless, right? Well, let's see what else the Bible has to say about that. Turn with me, please, to Mark 7, and we'll read verses 6 through 9. Mark 7, 6 through 9. Jesus Christ speaking here. He answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. Notice verse 9. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. God wants us to worship him and live our lives according to his word, not following pagan traditions. This is God's opinion of man's tradition. In Deuteronomy 12, let's see what else God has to say about man's tradition. In Deuteronomy 12, Let's read verses 29 through 32. Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 through 32. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed, in other words, be careful to yourself, that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. Verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their God. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Again, God wants us to worship him and live our lives according to his word, not following after pagan traditions. Well, brethren, we began today with a simple question. Will you be my Valentine? None of you seem to be interested before. Maybe now. I even managed to speak a little bit of French. It sounded so nice in French, didn't it? Le jour d'amour. I think most anything sounds nice in French. I remember a little bit more. Il y a un œuvre sur le trottoir. Maintenant, passez-moi les pommes de terre. Doesn't that just sound beautiful? Doesn't this look beautiful? Well, none of you are going to indulge, so I will. I'm opening the box. I'm looking inside. This could have all been yours. This could have all been yours. For those of you who might be a little nearsighted or in the back, there's a little message. And it says simply, fooled you. That's what Valentine's Day does for this world. Looks pretty. Sounded pretty. Le jour d'amour. You know that other little ditty I mentioned there in French? Mrs. Waterhouse smiled again because I simply said, there's an egg on the sidewalk. Please pass the mashed potatoes. Wasn't what any of you thought, was it? Neither is Valentine's Day. We've been reminded today how God views such traditions of man. Let's make sure we keep things straight.